I think before we start, we need to cue Sarah McLachlan. Is that any eyes
are the angel? Why would we cue that?
Because Tyler's not here.
Oh.
Tyler recently became a dead man walking. As you guys all know, we talked about Tyler got married last weekend, and it would be a disservice to Tyler to talk about his wedding when he's not here. So we're going to save that for next week. Tyler's going to be back. We're going to recap the wedding. It was a good time. So we'll leave it at that.
They piped that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.
We have Jade on the podcast today. Jade has been a part of the page, and he actually kind of had, you had your moment already, Jade, and that was in the three-putt poker video. And the entire bit of it was Pete Davidson ordered off of Wish.
Yeah, I got those comments sent to me.
What do you think about that?
I was like, great value Pete Davidson in one of them.
Yep. Yeah.
It's all right. You know, the blonde hair, you got to stick with it.
Yeah, exactly. I also think it just made for a good bit in the video that like we never even touched on that.
Yeah, not even one bit. And then the comments were all, what's Pete Davidson doing there?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no,
great video. We've had Jade in a lot of other videos too. And the funny thing about Jade is that, so him and I used to live together in college. We now both work at You Betcha. And he was part of the original Breakfast Ball crew. I don't know if Tyler had talked about this on one of the recent episodes of the origin of the Breakfast Ball page, but real quick, it started off, there was just four guys, me, Jade, Tyler, and Miles, who would go out on Friday mornings. We'd film an entire round and we're like, hey, I think we should just post that. Well, we never ended up posting any of it. We're like, okay, this just isn't going to work. We suck too bad to golf 18 holes and to have people want to watch that. So we had to do some reconfiguring. We're sorry, Jade, you got the boot. But yeah, now you're back.
Happens. We're back though.
And you're kind of like, you're second in command when Tyler can't make something or when I can't make something. So
I'm a good fill-in though.
You got to be just sitting up in your office being like, dude, I hope that Tyler or Ryan can't make this event this weekend because then I get to go golf.
Hey, Tyler's not here and here we are.
And here we are. Guys, we're at the CRMC Championship in Brainerd, Minnesota at the Craigens Legacy Courses. Unbelievable venue out here, and this is a PGA Tour Canada event. I know I had hinted on last podcast that there was a possibility of playing in my first pro-am. Well, that is happening. That is happening tomorrow, where Jade and I are going to we're going to join two other guys, so there'll be a team of four, and then we're also going to golf with a pro, and we're actually going to have the pro who won last week with a 27 under score. He's going to be on our squad. So we got really fortunate to draw him on our team, and he got really unfortunate to draw us. But at the same time, what he was saying was some people take these pro-ams way too seriously.
Which is good for us because we're not going to be able to really hold our own, if you will.
I mean, if he would have came up to me, and his name's Parker Cootie. We'll have him on later in the podcast for a quick segment, just talk shop and do all that. But if he would have been like, fellas, like, it's great you're on my team, but I'm trying to win this thing. Yeah. I would have started shitting my pants
a little bit. It was a big relief, definitely.
And kind of coming out to these courses, again, thanks to the PGA Tour Canada for allowing us to golf in our first pro-am. I am bummed. I'm happy that you're here, Jay, but I'm bummed that Tyler didn't get to experience this with the page. But ball and chain, honeymoon.
Happens.
Married last Saturday. Had to be there.
It's been a good day so far, too.
Been a really good day. And of course, Tyler is always, he shows up and he's like, I don't care what I shoot. I'm just going to have fun. So we're going to bring a piece of Tyler with us tomorrow at the Pro-Am, and we're going to have fun for Tyler. And I know you guys don't hear that out of my mouth often. Don't get me wrong. I have fun 95% of the time. But because Tyler's not here, we're going to have extra fun for him.
You want to know what I'm kind of scared about?
What?
Since we're playing with a pro, there's going to be some spectators there, and they're probably going to think that we're like good.
Dude, but it's also handicapped.
They are in absolute danger when we're swinging up, though.
Yeah, we might have to have them back up a little bit. Or
maybe just like wave them away.
Yeah, and that's going to be completely fine. The amount of times I've had to say four this summer is enough to cover every single spectator at this event. So it's going to be nothing new on my part.
Right. Yeah.
So we're gonna go out. We're gonna have a good time. We're playing 18 holes. Me, Jade, two members at the course here. Which, again, I don't think they're gonna expect a lot out of us, which is fine because then I think we're gonna be able to come in for some clutch shots.
And it's nice that handicaps come into play because we'll probably have the highest ones.
And it's a shamble, which means we take the best shot off the tee, and then everyone else plays the rest of the hole by themselves. Which is great because me playing last weekend, I played with Miles, and before I get into this, beat Miles again, no questions. Just like it's becoming second nature now, to where before we kind of even started the golf season here in the Midwest, you know, he had this golf coach and he was taking all these lessons, but I was coming for that ass, and that ass has been taken by me all summer.
How many times have you guys played this summer?
Two or three.
And you've won every one?
2-0, 3-0.
3-0.
Depends on what that number is. So that happened, but I also played a really bad round. I shot a 91 at a new course. Couldn't putt, couldn't get off the tee, which makes me even more excited for tomorrow because we're taking, out of five guys, one of them being a pro and two of them being members here, we're taking best drive.
Yeah, I'm very happy about that. I couldn't get off the tee box last weekend either.
But that's
to save my life.
But that's also like, it's a slippery slope for me because if you don't know me, I love hitting the long ball, and I just internally will get into long drive competitions.
Yeah,
with people.
Don't step up to the tee box and try to outdrive a pro tomorrow.
But here's the thing: in a scramble, that's the whole point of a scramble.
Yeah. Do we let him go first then? Do you think?
No, we go first and we put one safe.
Sure.
Which I've
well
here's
we're
another
not
thing.
Put one safe.
Here's another thing. I've never been the guy in a scramble to put one safe or to do anything like that. I've never been the guy who, like, the other three guys are going to look at us and be like, all right, well, if we can get one or two good holes out of these guys with their handicaps, then we'll be sitting pretty.
That's an interesting point. We're not going to be we're going to be the weakest links.
Yes.
Of this team.
Which I think is a great
position
to be in.
That's never happened
because there's such low expectations.
Right.
And we're just going to have a day. That's what we're out here to do. PGA Tour Canada, the CRMC Championship here at Craigens Resort in Brainerd, Minnesota. It's going to be a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful course, too. It looks amazing.
Wide fairways, which is even better.
Yep,
long course. Lot of water.
Yep.
Lot of water. So, yeah, we're going to have ourselves a day. We're going to play in the Pro-Am tomorrow. And next week, we'll update you guys on how that all went, how it all shook up when Tyler's back. And, yeah, we'll go from there. You golfed last weekend?
Yep. Course in Bismarck. Trees on both sides of the fairways. Brand new course. And probably didn't hit a single fairway in regulation.
What's your thought on playing new courses?
Love it. Normally it helps me out because I'm not trying to like overthink the course. So I think it works out great. But just did not work getting off the tee box.
We were talking on the way here that we don't really have a home course. We are the type of guys that will play. We won't play the same course twice in a week. You might play it once a week or whatever, but we've never really been able to get comfortable with a course. And I feel like, you know, here's Ryan. Here's another excuse as to why he can't fucking break 80, blah, blah, blah. We haven't been able to get used to a course yet.
Yeah. I mean, I have a membership at the Morehead courses.
Sure.
So I have kind of a home course. Still
you know
doesn't
how to
help
play
my case.
Sure.
Yeah. Still doesn't help my case. But I'm not very good at course management either.
Sure.
I'm always going for it. But
Jade, we've talked about you on the podcast before.
Yeah, plenty of times, I'm sure.
Have you listened?
Just when people tell me that I've been brought up.
What have those bits been?
The Pete Davidson recently. I don't really remember. It happens.
So you are the guy who will hit one 30 yards into the woods.
Find my ball, baby.
But you will miraculously find your ball right on the edge to give you a shot without a penalty.
You're just bringing up the one time when we were in Mapleton and that happened.
That was what set
ball.
Me over the
yep.
edge. That one set me over the edge because championship hole. And
we were scrambling against each other, right?
You guys remember the infamous putt. The putt that I literally Shooter McGavin'd 2 feet from the hole.
You
because
will
it
never
was,
be able to do that again.
Because it was tracking the entire way.
Yep.
And it went into the hole, hit the top of the plastic hole, not the top dirt, the plastic hole, bounced back out and
so there's
sat
like an inch,
on the lip.
There's like an inch of dirt inside the hole and then it hit the cup itself, like the plastic top of the cup and then shot backwards like a backboard.
And you saw it.
And missed. Yeah, it was great.
And that was to win.
Forced the playoff.
And then we went into second playoff hole and we ended up losing.
Here's the thing though. That shot we never even took, but I did find my ball.
That is correct.
I was already out of it on that hole with where I was. I was still like punching out.
What's your biggest, let's just say your biggest illegal hack on the golf course?
Fluffing my ball. Do it all the time.
That's a fair.
It'll be hard to not like subconsciously do that in this pro-am tomorrow.
Yeah.
I love a good
but also
fluff
after
up.
The first drive, you take the best drive and then you automatically
get to set my ball down.
You get to fluff your ball off your second shot.
Yeah, so that'll help me because we won't be taking any of my drives probably.
I mean, my goal tomorrow is to have one drive taken.
That would be amazing. Or like one good shot off of like a par three that we end up taking yours.
Yeah, I don't know how that works with par threes. Does everyone play their own ball out on the par three, or do you take the best shot?
We're going to need to see a rule book because we kind of did walk into this like not really expecting anything or having a clue what we were doing.
Well,
as we talked about on the way down here, I was like, are we going to see like a rule book? Like
our rule book was like the rule book that we go off of is probably 90% accurate, like of the official rules. The other 10% were written by some guy like us in his basement.
Yeah, just like
who's like, hey, this is how. I would say my biggest illegal hack on the golf course is going to be the foot wedge.
You're going to try to use that tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow. Okay, but just in general, my biggest illegal hack on the course is going to be the foot wedge.
Yeah, give yourself a little kick if you're in some tree trouble for sure.
And it's like, I'm not paying to play 18 holes to have to punch out. Off of every tee
right.
box.
So what happens though if you use a couple foot wedges on like a front nine and then you end up shooting the infamous under 80?
I don't know.
Feel as good?
I have not gotten there yet. Right. I feel like, well, here's the thing. I feel like shooting under 80 for guys like us is different than shooting under 80 as like, let's just say a pro, right? Like we have a different rule book than they do. Let's just say 10% kind of modified where, hey, maybe fluff your ball every once in a while, or hey, maybe use a foot wedge. Because here's the thing, Jade, we don't need to be punching out on 14 out of 18 tee boxes. Because
it happens though.
No, I mean, it does happen, but at the same time, like we need to do whatever we can do to make ourselves feel better on the course.
Right.
And if it takes the foot wedge or it takes the ball fluff, do it. Now, to contradict that, if you're playing for money, then I would say the rules are the rules.
Yeah, then you got to be a little bit careful about that for sure.
You like playing for money?
Do it all the time.
How much?
It makes me like think about my shots a little bit more.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more focused.
Yeah, where I'm not just like swinging the club to swing the club.
Yeah.
So.
And that's why I like to put money down too. Even if it's like $1 a hole and you guys know this, I have a buddy that I play with often and we play $5 a hole. We have for the last 3 years. The balance is still running. No one's ever paid anybody. But
do you have like a running balance? Like, do you know your total?
Yeah, I'm up $11 right now.
You're pretty even.
I've been up as much as 106 and I don't know where that extra dollar came from, to be honest. Maybe it was like a food bill at the end of a round.
Sure.
They're like, yeah, I just put it on my balance.
Right.
I've been up as much as 106 and I think I've been down as much as like 75. And now I'm up 11. So
I tend to, when I'm playing bad, try to start gambling on the course to maybe like make me play better. And then I just dig myself into a hole.
Here's another thing about you that I've noticed. In specific rounds, you will decline a beverage on the course if you're playing good. Until you start playing bad, then you'll accept a beverage from somebody else.
You probably only witnessed that a couple times though, because normally I don't start out very well and then I'm forcing myself to decline a beverage just because I don't really have that sweet spot. I thought I did, but I don't. It's like, for me, every drink just makes me a worse golfer.
Well, and here's the thing. The sweet spot, I feel like, is the perfect, we talked about bev carts and regulation last week. This week, we're talking about beers and regulation.
Beers and regulation.
You got your furs, your gurs, and your burrs. The correct number of burrs for me on the course is 3 on the front and 3 on the back.
I normally get about 0 furs, maybe a couple gurs, and then I just run up the burrs.
I mean, at some certain point, that's about all you can do to make yourself feel better.
Then at least you still enjoy your time on the course, too.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty good at that.
So the burrs to gurs and furs ratio is a lot. It's good for us, I feel like, because that's what we're looking to do out on the course.
I even asked the pro that we're playing with tomorrow when we just met him. I was like, any chances we'll be able to get a couple beers in here tomorrow? And he declined pretty quick, but it's worth the shot.
I understand. It's his livelihood.
Yeah. I mean, it's the day before he's got to play in a big tournament, but yeah, you know, it was worth a shot.
That's fair. Yeah. So you couldn't get off the tee box last week?
Nope. Not even in the slightest.
I couldn't either. I couldn't hit a putt. Yeah. I
scrambled pretty well though. Hit a few trees, but yep. There was trees both sides of the fairway, but I scrambled pretty good.
And nothing a foot wedge or fluff can't do to get that going again.
I hit so minimal fairways in regulation that I think I'm better hitting out of the rough.
I would agree. Yeah. You are a phenomenal scrambler.
I can scramble really good because it's what I'm used to.
Yep.
So if I do end up just piping one down the middle, I really struggle with those like approach shots.
Man, that's a tough shot. Like center fairway.
Yeah.
Nice grass, perfect lie. That's a tougher shot than people think.
We talked
it is.
About this too on the way here. Like if we're taking, you know, the pro's drive and it's a shorter par four, we're going to have like a 60-yard approach shot. That's probably the worst part of my game.
It's not a full club.
It's not a full club. It's a finesse shot.
Yeah, it's a finesse feel shot.
It's a full finesse.
Depending on the day, it the feel is either there or it's not. If it's not there, then I might as well just take an 8-iron and punch it up to the green.
Yeah.
Why do more people not do that?
I try sometimes. I actually did a few times last week.
I'm going to
tell how bad it works or is going for me that I was trying like long, like 40 plus yard bump and runs.
I'm going to fuck around a little bit. Maybe go play out by myself here in the coming weeks. And I'm going to screw around with shots like 60 yard 8-iron, just a punch shot.
Yeah,
up
a little,
into the green.
Little punch and run.
Maybe
if one of us are struggling tomorrow, we should give it a try.
And then hole out.
Just skull it into the spectators like we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder what the guys are like that we're playing tomorrow, playing with tomorrow. I can make an assumption that because they're members at this course, it might be a little more hoity-toity than we're used to.
Yeah,
but
probably.
I also think we're good at loosening.
I think we'll loosen
up
the crew a little bit.
And I think we need to set the standard with Parker, the pro that we're playing with right away. Like, hey, we got to get these other two guys on board with like, we're just going to go out and have fun.
Right. Yeah, it would be an interesting dynamic because Parker did say, you know, he wants it to be more laid back because he's got to play in the tournament the next few days.
Yeah.
So he's like, a lot of those pro-ams guys take it way too seriously. And if the other two members show up and they're like just out to win it,
then that's going to be a tough situation.
Yeah, then it would be a little bit of a sticky situation for us.
Yeah,
we'll loosen him up pretty quick.
We'll figure it
out. That was a relief that he said a lot of guys take it way too seriously so we can go out there and actually have some fun.
Yeah, we do get to take carts too.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And
I made sure I asked that before we even agreed to come do this. I made sure I asked carts or walking. Because that would have been a deal breaker had we had to walk.
Really?
No.
Well, I didn't really know what to expect. So it would have been pretty funny if we went out there and we were playing our own ball. You know, it was like full tournament format.
Yep.
And then we like show up and they're like, okay, where's your guys' caddies and stuff? And they see my $150 clubs and they're just like, who is this guy?
I mean, I'll literally go into the parking lot or across the street to the lake and see if some guy wants to come carry clubs.
Go hit up the local
$5
bar.
$5 a hole.
Yeah,
you want to come carry clubs?
Go hit up the local bar. Hey, you want to come caddy for a golf tournament?
That
would be kind of
the
electric.
The most famous movie of all time.
Happy Gilmore did it.
He actually took Will Zalatoris off the street.
Yep.
And he had him caddy for him. So it's been done before.
So it is nice that we're getting carts. And they did say that we can get a couple beers on the course. So if it is going bad, then at least we got that going for us.
Yeah, Wednesday beers. It's a beautiful thing. Yep. It really is.
Doesn't happen often.
And I mean, we've never played courses like this before. I don't know. Some of you might have seen the video that we did at the gravel pit, the par three nine-hole tour. And the gravel pit's just right down the road. So I'm hoping tonight we can maybe go play some night golf, see if they'll make an exception for us to go do that. But I've driven past this course. I've never played it. Now tomorrow we get the opportunity to play it, which the real question is, do we belong at this course or not?
I don't think so. So far in what I've seen, probably not. Maybe you do.
Jade, I think 91 you're last weekend.
Yeah, but you carry yourself a little bit more golfing class than probably the rest of our groups.
That's also just part of the golf addiction. Is like,
yeah, you've really stepped into the golf realm of class.
Like my attire from 4 years ago going out on a Friday night is completely different than my attire going out in today's, in my world today, going out on a Friday night, because I'm just going to be wearing golf polo, probably like my TPC Scottsdale quarter zip. And you know, I walk into a place and they're probably like, Jesus, that guy probably bombs the ball. And then I'll maybe overhear it and say, like, dude, 11 handicap, hasn't moved in a year. Yeah,
hasn't been touched, but at least you look better doing it.
That's true. That's true. If you can't play the part, you might as well look the part.
Right, exactly.
Which I'm all about.
There was a video that popped up on my time of us golfing, I think 4 or 5 years ago. I think you probably remember this, Prairiewood, when we were hitting the trees and stuff. And I laughed at what we were wearing. We were dressed absolutely ridiculous to be on the course. It's a public course.
But probably a cotton polo and maybe...
athletic shorts, like basketball athletic shorts, cotton polo.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We've come a long ways.
We have came, even myself, in terms of the golf class there.
Well, here's the thing. You used to use my wife's clubs when you first started. We'd be going out golfing.
True story.
I feel like we were playing golf the year before it became popular with everybody.
We also learned golf together too. So,
but here's the thing: we never golfed in college.
Nope, not at all.
We wouldn't like we. I don't ever remember going to golf in college, and that's the thing. Like for any of you who are recently graduated or are going to graduate this year, like buckle up. Start a separate bank account. Put $100 a month in there. Because when you get the itch and when the addiction sets in, you start shaking on a Saturday if you haven't played a round of 18 in a while. You got the bank account right there. Go play around. Go buy a new polo. Go buy some Costco golf shorts, which are elite, by the way. And it's you're gonna set yourself up for success. It's almost like a retirement fund, but it's a golf fund.
An early retirement fund.
Or what you could do is you could donate plasma and put all that money. Put all that money onto a debit card and just use that for golf.
Go get yourself a whole fresh set after a couple months of doing that.
70
bucks a
week.
That's a pretty good idea, actually.
When I did it, it was 70 bucks a week. That's a round of golf every single week. So you're essentially 2 hours of your week, 1 hour to donate plasma two times is going to pay for your round of golf. Great way to get into the game.
Yeah, 100%.
Nothing wrong with donating plasma. I did it for years. Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to have a little interview with one of our shamble partners for the Pro-Am tomorrow. Parker Cootie, University of Texas guy, Texas hometown guy. Really cool dude. And he wants to go out tomorrow. He wants to have fun. And we're going to do a quick interview with him. And I apologize in advance. We had the camera in the sun mid-interview. Got way too hot. So the audio, shit like that. It might be a little wonky, but it's going to be a good interview. And then we'll close out the podcast with another electric segment and go from there.
I'm excited for the segment.
All right, guys, before we get into our next segment, we have to talk to you about Carl's Place, the indoor simulator that we recently got in the office. I'll tell you what, there's a point where you need to start being productive at the office. And it's been really hard. The only thing I don't like about the Carl's Place simulator is that it takes away from productivity. It takes away from, negotiating that raise at the end of the year because, hey, Ryan, sorry, can't give you a raise. Been on the simulator too much. But all in all, Jade, been able to take about 5,000 shots a day.
Everyone's staying at work late to use this.
Which is phenomenal. And I put a story up the other day and it was like every You Betcha employee after 5 p.m. and where everyone is on the simulator. We're playing 18. We're playing par 3 courses. We're hitting the driving range. We're trying to screw around with swings. Not all quality reps, but at the same time, we just want to get the golf club in our hand and we want to start swinging it. So guys, now is the perfect time for you to go to carlofet.com. Check out the indoor simulators. You guys can get in at a super low price to throw it in your garage, in your man cave, what have you. Starting at like $800, you can get the launch monitor, you can get the enclosure, all that good stuff. Basically just anything to be able to get that golf club in your hand in the wintertime here in the Midwest especially, and be able to get some swings in so you are absolutely dialed come next season.
Other thing to add to that, setup is simple. All the resources are provided.
Yeah, you set it all up.
Yeah, everything just went super smoothly. Even if you had no idea what you were doing, all the instructions are just laid out perfect for you.
Yeah, and you don't need the entire package like we have.
Right.
I keep saying to this day, I literally swung in my garage last winter with a net and a hitting mat. And if you can get a little bit something better than that with, your launch monitor, hook it up to a laptop, what have you, Carl's Place is going to hook you up with all that good stuff, starting at a pretty good cost. And if you want to go the Mac Daddy of them all, That's available for you as well. So guys, head over to carloffet.com. That's CarlOffet.com. Use promo code double bogey for 10% off your enclosures too. And you know, if you want to level up in the enclosure game, make sure you hit the promo code, save a little bit of money, and get that swing dialed this winter when we can get back on the course next year. So thank you, Carl's Place. Go check him out, carloffet.com. And we're going to segue into our interview with Parker Cootie, who we're playing with in the Pro-Am tomorrow. He won last week's tournament in the PGA Tour Canada, 27 under.
And, insane score.
I made a pretty good bit about that during the interview. So we'll let you guys listen in. Parker Cootie coming up here, University of Texas guy. Hope you guys enjoy it. All right, guys. Today, special guest on the Double Bogey Show, we have Parker Cootie from Texas. Went to UT and snagged the first victory in the PGA Tour Canada event last week. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was our, what, seventh event of the year? So, okay. I guess my sixth start, but yeah, no, it was definitely a good one.
What did you shoot?
I shot 27 under for four rounds.
27 under for four rounds?
Yeah.
Easy day.
I'll be completely honest with you. I honestly don't know if I've ever had 27 birdies in my golf career. So that's a testament to you and how good these guys are on the PGA Tour Canada, which is pretty awesome, man. You just finished up NCAA, the championship, what, a couple months ago, a few weeks ago?
Yeah, very end of May into even the first week of June. So, I mean, it's been a quick turnaround from college / amateur golf to pro golf now.
Sure. So tell me this. At what age did you decide that you wanted to turn pro? You wanted to make golf a career? Like, what age did you even start golfing at?
I started golfing when I was pretty young. I was, I guess, fortunate to have some family members who played golf and stuff, my dad and granddad. And so they got me golf pretty young. But then after that, played all the other sports. I mean, it's what all your friends were doing. I would say going into ninth grade was a point where I was like, golf's my thing. I mean, I'm not like the biggest guy.
Sure.
I wish I could play football and baseball at a higher level, but
yeah.
Here we are. Going into ninth grade was the time where I started playing high school golf, and it was started whatever college coaches came around and all that fun stuff. So that was the turning point, I guess.
And how old are you, Parker?
I'm 22.
So you didn't cross paths with Jordan Spieth at Texas at all, did you?
No, not at all.
But you know him, right?
I mean, yeah. You know,
personal friendship.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I mean, if I saw him and stuff, he'd definitely say hi. And he's been really good to all the guys at UT and Pearson and I in Dallas and stuff. So he's a really good guy.
That's great. And you were telling me off air too, when we were just BSing around, I was kind of telling you a little bit about our page. And, you know, we cater towards the average golfer, the below average golfer, which I feel like is 90% of people around the world, around the nation, who are golfing, picking up golf clubs for the first time. What kind of advice do you got for people looking to get into the sport of golf? I know you were fortunate to start at a very young age, whereas like me and all the other guys who I'm kind of referring to are like, hey, we've maybe only picked up the clubs for 3 years now. There's always this sort of pressure that people put on, like, hey, I want to shoot this certain score. I want to do this with the ball. What kind of advice do you have for golfers like us in terms of like, hey, here's how to maybe get a little bit better, but also still keep the game fun?
Yeah, I would invest in some lessons before you invest in new clubs.
Okay, done that. helped a little bit. Okay, yeah, number one.
I see that a lot where guys and buy new clubs where they think that, I mean, sometimes that really does help.
If you okay, I did that too.
It really helped. Yep.
All right.
I mean, it sounds like cliche, and I mean, I know it's a lot easier said than done, but you'll shave a lot of shots aiming in the middle of the greens, laying back on some holes, but I mean, I know that's not fun. Like, you want to make the birdie, you want to hit that, whatever, 300 plus yard drive. So
right.
I know that's tough pill to swallow, but your score, I think, would definitely shave a few strokes.
Course management, to put that all into one.
Right, yeah.
Because I've gotten the lessons, I've bought the new clubs thinking like, dude, this is the time. This is the time where, and my thing is I haven't broke 80 yet. I've been really close, but I'm having trouble breaking 80. So I figured the lessons and the new clubs would help. But also it's like, hey, it's what's in between the ears that's going to make you break 80. All right. So Parker, I feel like the game of golf too is like when you yank a bad shot or you put one in the shit, what have you, it's like you have an opportunity to make an even better shot the next time. You have an opportunity to stick one on the green, to hole out. Golf is like a game where you really don't know what's going to happen next, and it could be something absolutely crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, you see all those crazy shots all the time from, I mean, Tiger has a crazy amount of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's a great way to look at it, and it's always fun when you pull it off.
Yeah. Did you get in on the NIL stuff when you were you too late for that, or was that your last year of college?
That was my last year of college, but yeah, no, I got into it a little bit.
And with that, would you say that helped you a lot? Did it set you up for some success, especially going into professional golf where you're probably not making a ton of money, but being able to kind of rely on some brand sponsorships and anything like that?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, as everyone knows, golf's an expensive sport.
Very.
Even in pro golf, yeah. Travel weekly is not cheap by any means. So having, I mean, I was able to, I guess, get a couple seasons covered, yep, before I even turned pro, which was really nice. I mean, that's a little added comfort level for, yep, a lot of guys that didn't get take advantage of NIL. So
yep.
I was really fortunate with that.
No, it's great. Do you ever get a chance to like just go out and play with your buddies on a Saturday morning for fun?
Yeah, and more in the winter.
Sure.
It's a pretty small window when that gets to happen, but I love it. It's some of the most fun golf, I think.
Well, those are probably the guys that you grew up golfing with too. When it wasn't, you know, you're obviously taking it serious when you started ninth grade, being like, hey, I can do this at the next level. But that's got to be fun for you to be able to kind of take the pressure away from everything of like having to make the cut or having to win a tournament or having to make X amount of money just so you can play in the next tournament. That's got to be fun for you to go back and play with the buddies.
Yeah, no, it's so much fun because all those guys were playing football, baseball, basketball, and
yep,
then it's funny to see how they're all getting the work life now, but they all in college and even some of them are now just picking up golf and they're addicted. They get hooked so fast.
Seriously, it's a slippery slope.
I mean, they don't realize how addicted they get till you have to like tell them like, dude, you're trying to play more golf than I am when I'm home and stuff.
Yeah.
And no, but it's an awesome time.
Yeah. That's the thing about golf too, though. It's like once you get hooked, then like you were saying earlier, here comes the new clubs, here comes the lessons. And golf is the one sport that you can watch a tournament on TV, you can get inspired real quick, and you can literally go out by yourself and play 18 holes. You can't just get, you know, 9 other guys to play a pickup basketball game. You can't get 21 other guys to play a football game. But golf is the type of game where you can just go and play solo if you wanted to.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, it's a lot of fun to play by yourself sometimes. And
yeah.
Then, yeah, you get a good group at your club or wherever you play, and it's a blast.
What, if you were to order any drink from a bev cart, what would it be?
It'd probably be Pacifico. I like my Mexican
okay.
beer.
For what, whatever, you're down in Texas. You're down in South.
Yeah, for whatever reason. So I like my beer with lime.
Hell yeah, yeah, I love that. Well, this is Bush Light country.
Right. Yeah.
So, hey, at the clubhouse, give me 2 coolers of Bush Light, and the boys are ready to hit the course.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
All right, to cap this off with you, Parker, you had the unfortunate draw of playing with myself and Jade in the pro-am tomorrow. I'll tell you what. We're not going to wow anybody with scores. We're going to hit some good shots. We're going to hit some bad shots. But at the same time, we're going to have a lot of fun. What do you expect out of us tomorrow?
Probably just a good time, honestly. I mean, some of these pro-ams are taken a little too seriously.
Sure.
And no, I think it'll be a lot of fun. And well, I think everyone will hit some good shots and bad shots, but it'll be fun.
Okay. We're going to go 27 under tomorrow. We're going to win the Pro-Am. I don't know what the winners get, but I hope it's something. So we're going to do just that. We're going to have some fun tomorrow in the Pro-Am. And this is our first Pro-Am we've ever played.
Okay.
So I've played some tournament golf before in the past, and it's a whole different ballgame than just going out and playing Saturday golf with your buddies. But tomorrow we're going to have fun, and we'll make a day out of it.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Awesome, Parker. Hey, good luck this weekend, man. Let's bring home another W. And on to the next one, right?
Sounds good.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. All
right, guys. That's our partner. I don't know what he thought about us. I could definitely tell off when we were talking off air that he was kind of trying to get a gauge of, you know, what we can contribute to the scramble team tomorrow. And I'll, I, you know, what we can tell him is that we're going to contribute a good time. We're going to contribute a couple good shots. And overall, it's going to be a great day out on the course.
Yeah, we did a pretty good job setting the standard for ourselves. And he seemed almost pretty relieved.
Yeah, so. And it's kind of cool to talk to a guy like that because he's grinding right now. He's recently graduated. He's 22 years old. University of Texas guy, big time golf program. Jordan Spieth went there. He's grinding right now. He's grinding in PGA Tour Canada. He's flying all over the place to help make a name for himself. And a guy who can shoot 27 under, I hope one day to see him on the PGA Tour, knowing that we got to talk to him kind of when he was just getting his start.
And he even said in the interview, like, golfing with the boys is one of his favorite things to do. And he doesn't have a very large window to do that.
Yeah.
So, hey, maybe we can give him a little bit of a taste of that tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to do tomorrow. So we're going to have a good time with him. And, I mean, shit, if he can post a 27 under through 8, I mean, well, through 18. If he can even post a 13 under by himself tomorrow through 18, which is a very tall task. Hey, maybe if there's prize money involved, maybe you have to shoot him a 20. Maybe you have to shoot him a little Venmo. What yeah, have
you? Could you imagine taking like none of our shots and then we win this thing?
Hey guys, sorry.
Right in the train to victory.
I hope the good vibes that we provided are worth some sort of money. And we're going to get out of here. We're gonna fill up my truck with gas. And we'll pretty much be broke after that.
We'd have to get out of here so quick.
Yeah, so sorry. We're going to have to pocket this prize money. And, you know, thanks again, fellas. Right. Thanks again for a nice little paycheck here.
What if it comes on one of those, like, big checks, too?
That would be sick.
We have had absolutely nothing to do with
it. We'd put it in the pod room.
Oh, yeah.
For 100%. Sure.
100%.
So yeah, Parker's a great guy, and hope you guys enjoyed just a little interview. Again, we had some technical difficulties, cameras overheating. It's hot in Minnesota today. We're in Brainerd area. It's hot.
It's hot out today.
But I'm not going to complain because in a couple months it's going to be snow on the ground, and I'm going to be bitching that it's too cold out. So we're going to enjoy the next couple days. And before we wrap up the pod, guys, we want to get into another little segment, which I know what it is. Mitch knows what it is.
I don't
Jay
have
does
a clue.
Not.
Not an idea.
So, Mitch, can you walk us through, I believe there's 10 key points, and the segment is called Golf Douchebag or Not.
Yep. So we got the first one. You twirl your club after bombing a drive.
Twirling the club after a bomb of a drive, I will tell you right away I am victim of this. Because here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to act like I'm better than I actually am. And that's been since I've picked up the golf club 3 years ago. Do I think that's a douche move, especially for our skill level? I don't think so. Because it kind of sets the tone for the buddies in your group that you're playing with. So yes, I'm victim of that. If you think that's a douche move or not, I fall into that category. And no, I'm not just saying it's not a douchebag move because I fall into the category. But I genuinely think like it sets the tone for the rest of the round.
Right. I'm going to go with a no only because I only bomb a drive like once or twice around.
So you have
like
to celebrate
a good
it.
Drive.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't even get to twirl the club that much.
You have
so
to celebrate
you, it. You have to. You have to give yourself a yeah. little bit of the bonus.
I mean, shit. In order to get good at the club twirl, you have to practice it. So the odd chances of me hitting a good shot and being able to club twirl, I at least have that experience under my belt, even if it's a bad shot.
You don't mess it up when you do it.
Yeah.
I sometimes just subconsciously do it. Like I'll just slice it two fairways over and I'll still twirl it as I'm like putting the club down.
I also haven't perfected the club twirl. I'm more of like a sword back in the holster
sure.
type guy.
But, yeah.
I mean, it takes a lot of practice to get good at the club twirl.
Right.
Well, I mean, like I see someone bomb a drive, right? And they don't club twirl. I'm a little worried. I'm like,
fuck this
is this guy going to be a bad time? Is if he
yeah,
thinks
that,
that's a bad drive.
That's a pretty good point. You could have too much of an ego to not club twirl,
yeah.
just bomb a drive, yeah. and then just straight face walk off the tee box.
Almost
that's
like
probably more of a douchebag.
Yeah,
you almost have to club twirl.
I would agree. Almost yeah. as if you've hit so many good shots that you don't even need to twirl it out because that's just second nature at this point.
First one off the bat, we don't agree with.
Well, also, I mean, even in a scramble, if someone bombs a drive and club twirls, it's so electric for the other three guys. Like yeah. it gets the boys buzzing.
Instills
for sure.
a little bit of confidence in the fellas.
Yep.
Well, yeah. we always talk about how like even in specifically in scrambles, you always gotta have like vibes gotta be immaculate.
100%.
That's how you kill your competition. Like if you're hooting and hollering for someone shanking at 30 yards.
People get jealous about that
yeah.
shit. There's other people on the holes like adjacent that get jealous of like, damn, like I wish my scramble group was having that much fun.
That'll be our winning point if we bring the thing home tomorrow. It's like, yep. Well, we just brought the immaculate vibes.
That's all we're here to do.
That's yep. It.
What do you got for us next, Mitch?
All right, next one is walking in a putt.
I did that once. We talked about it 5 minutes ago,
well,
you know how that turned out. So I do not walk in putts. I'm a sit there and stare at it type of guy.
Yeah.
So is that a douchebag move or no then?
I would say, I think it goes back to the club twirl. It's like, if you're not used to making long putts, which we are not, I think it's okay to, number one, raise the vibes. And number two, get everyone else pumped up about it.
Right.
And plus, then if you don't make your putt and you're walking towards it, then you can just like, your buddies are just going to give you shit, which then in turn are going to breed for good vibes.
You're kind of just walking into getting shit.
Yeah. No, I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. And you're not playing with the right group of people if they're not giving you shit for club twirling or they're not giving you shit for walking your putt.
Exactly.
So I guess it depends on who you ask. If you're asking like my buddies that I play with, hey, is this a douchebag move? Well, when Ryan does it, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it also depends on who you are and the circumstances.
That is true. That is true.
I'm going to still go with a no, though, because you don't get to do it very often.
It's closer to the
line.
You're
not going to walk in like a 6-footer. You know, you're only going to start walking in when you know you're about to sink that like 20, 30 footer.
It's such a big dick energy move. Oh, yeah. Walking
feels,
in a
feels so
it,
good.
It falls center cup.
What else we got?
All right. For the next one, we got using a rangefinder on a par 4 tee box.
That's a douchebag
move.
1,000%.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a rangefinder, so.
Because, I mean, getting the distance is one thing. But if you're on the tee box at a par 4, like a drivable par 4.
It's still going to be 270 plus. Right?
Yeah.
And like, you still are just going to have to bomb the thing.
Again.
It's not like you're going to be able to dictate, you know, your drive between 290 and 320. If you're going to bomb it, you're gonna bomb it.
Well, that's the thing too, is like trying to drive the green on a par 4 versus just trying to drive the middle of the fairway. It's
right.
you're either not the first one, you're aiming at the pin. The second one, you're aiming at the fairway, which is a lot larger of an object to hit. Leave the rangefinder in. Look at the cobblestone sign deal.
Yeah, just look at the range.
See the distance, because give or take 10 yards, it ain't gonna matter.
Yeah, 100%.
So
hope we find one that we disagree on here. That'll
yeah,
be interesting.
Me too.
All right, for this next one, being unsatisfied with an approach shot that is 3 feet from the pin.
Douchebag move.
Yeah.
A huge douchebag move.
I'm pumped if I can get it 3 feet
from the
pin.
I think you might be unsatisfied just because you like wanted it to go in or something, but it's not like it just depends on how you approach that unsatisfaction. Like, God, that should have been closer. It's a douchebag.
I think because I expect, I have such high expectations for certain things like that. And when I do that, so yes, I am victim of that again. when I do that, it's more so like, God, what if that ball could have went in the hole?
Yeah, it's more of a disappointment in yourself, if you will, but you got to keep that internally. If you're, you know, voicing that out, I'd say it's a little bit of a douchebag.
Well, because it's like, what do you expect?
Yeah.
You expect to make that shot?
Right.
I mean, that's a 2% make. Shot is, you're going to make that 2% of the time.
Even
the pros are going to make it 2% of the time.
If even
that.
Right.
So you can't beat yourself over that kind of thing. So I would agree that is a douchebag move to get mad at something like that.
Had to work you into that one a little bit.
I know. I do fall victim to that easy.
All right, so for the fifth one, we've got saying that you pulled or pushed your drive even though it's in the fairway.
I do. That one does kind of piss me off. When you're golfing with somebody that does hit the fairway every time.
Yeah.
And then they just like hit the outside of the fairway and they hit it. They're like, oh, pulled that.
So you think that's a douchebag move?
Kinda, yeah.
I see, this is actually the first one I have to disagree with you on, because there are certain guys that are trying to hit certain shots, and when they don't hit the certain shot, it upsets them a little bit more.
Right.
So I think they have the right to be mad that they missed on the wrong side of the fairway. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, again, it depends on who you're golfing with. If it's you and I golfing, and I get mad that I pulled one on the left side of the fairway instead of faded one on the right side, go ahead, call me a douche, because I am.
I think you would give me shit if I actually hit one down the middle and I was like, oh, pulled it and it still hit the fairway. You'd be harping me for sure.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you kind of deserve it there a little bit. And that's why I'm going with a little bit of a douchebag move there. But that could just mean you're a better golfer, you know?
Yeah. Like,
Could just, I might not just be at that level. So yeah. maybe that one's on me, but I'm still sticking to it.
If I'm golfing with someone I don't know, I'm there definitely. I'm
that's a good
calling
point.
Them out for yeah, that. Yeah, call them out for too. Sure.
Yeah. Before we get into the next one, I got a little surprise for you guys. We got the trophy for the actual tournament.
Oh my goodness.
Here.
Ooh. Check this thing
out over here.
Let's bring it on.
What there's no better prize that can be given to the winner in Minnesota than like a miniature Paul Bunyan axe.
No kidding. That looks mean.
This isn't the pro am. Okay, this is the actual tournament.
So we can't just take this right now.
I mean, this would be a great addition to the podcast studio. Can I see that for a second?
It's heavy.
Let me see it.
Oh my goodness.
Holy shit. This is sweet. We could chop some wood down in the back with these babies.
With as much as you go in the trees, you'll probably need it.
I've never been able to hold the trophy for an actual professional event. Here I am today.
Just
holding the axe for the PGA Tour champion or PGA Tour Canada CRMC championship. I got the axe.
Have you ever thought about how you would get that through customs though?
It would be tough. Imagine if you're going back.
Worked on that one?
You probably have to just ship it back.
Yeah, probably.
But then also, I mean, you could also put it in your golf bag.
It's going to be expensive shipping. That thing's like 30 pounds.
Perfect solution. Put it in your golf bag. Put the cover over your golf bag for rain. And I feel like there's a no questions asked type of thing when you get a travel case coming through. Number one, it's either going to get demolished, or number
that
two,
thing ain't
they're going
to demolish.
They're going to take it. They're going to take your pride in making sure your bag is safe.
Right.
Especially if the guy unloading and loading bags up is a golfer himself.
I would just check the axe, I think.
This thing is unbelievable. It also has USA on it. USA, USA. So yeah, this is the one and only time I'm ever gonna have my hands on something like this.
Oh,
so 100%. I'm embracing it right now.
Yeah, I want to hold it one more time.
Yeah, you take it back
before you give it back.
That's pretty cool. Imagine that hanging in the podcast studio. We'll have to maybe see Jade if Parker wins the tournament. We'll maybe see if
see if we can wheel and deal it off.
Hey, everything's for sale. Everything's for sale. We'll see if we can wheel and deal.
It's not the first time we've sold something on the podcast.
And also, it's not his first trophy that he's gotten. So does he need it? Does he not? If he doesn't, you know where it's going. So. Hey, Parker, we'll take our Pro-Am winnings and we'll give them to you for your championship axe. How about we just go with that? That's pretty cool, though.
Sweet.
Now, what do we got here? This is a Pro-Am trophy?
Yep.
God, this would also... Oh, my God. This would be amazing in the podcast studio. The real question is, who gets this from the Pro-Am team?
If we don't take any of our shots and we win the thing... I mean, would it be fair for us to bring it home? Absolutely. That's the spirit we want to walk into this with.
Again, everything's for sale. And I think if we give them a good sales pitch that we can get this hanging in the pod studio. But to see what we'll be holding tomorrow, this is the Pro-Am. This is a Pro-Am trophy. That's the actual tournament trophy. One of these is going to be in the pod studio when things are all said and done.
Maybe both.
Maybe both. So we'll see what we can do. This is pretty cool, though. This would make a great decoration up on the shelves. 2022.
We're going to really have to bring the heat tomorrow then, huh?
Northern Pacific Center Pro-Am Champions, Craigan's Legacy Courses, August 24th, 2022. And, I mean, the shitty part about it is that Tyler's not here. So for me to bring a trophy back to partially his podcast studio, partially his page, that'd be a real kick in the nuts.
Especially with a picture of just you and I on top of it.
Well, that's what happens when you get married too. It's like, hey, you get pulled out of stuff that you don't want to.
Right.
Your buddies go out and win a Pro-Am while you're on your honeymoon with the old ball and chain.
I don't think I've ever seen better trophies.
This is sick. Mitch, what do you got next for us?
Next question we got is, or next little statement.
Thank you.
Is, so when you say hit that off the toe after a 330-yard drive,
what do you fellas think? Douchebag move? 10-4.
10-4.
Yeah, 100%.
D-bag move.
D-bag move.
Oh, God, this is a little toe-y.
330 really? Yards down the fairway, and you say you hit it off the toe? Come on, my guy.
Really? Yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory. D-bag move. Don't do that. I mean, if I hear you do it, you're really going to get some shit from me. Because if you can, number one, if you can do that by hitting it off the face, great. But if you can do that by hitting off the toe, I'm probably not the guy that you're going to be wanting to play with.
Especially if you're like six to eight beers deep and you say that, but you're still just deleting the thing off the tee box.
Well, what's great is that guys like us, when we try and diagnose a shot and why it did something, then I think that's fine. But also guys like us trying to diagnose a shot mid round of 18.
Right.
You can't be doing that. It ain't going to get any better.
No shot.
Maybe back up off the ball a little bit. Maybe don't hit it off the toe. But at the same time, if you can hit 330 off the toe, you ain't going to be golfing with us. So that's another
fair point.
So don't let any buddies get away with saying shit like that on the golf course, because it's not okay.
You were pretty heavy on that one, but you were 50-50 on the, oh, I pulled that, but you're still hitting it down the fairway. And it's kind of the same thing.
Because what I'm working on right now might not cater to that. So like, hey, I'm trying to hit a tight 5-yard draw.
Right.
And I hit a 10-yard fade.
Okay.
Why did it do that? You know, I'm trying to diagnose myself.
Okay.
I'm probably going back and forth here on myself. But
yeah. If you hit a 330 off the toe, then
I might be digging myself into a hole right now. We'll have to listen back to it and see what it actually sounds like. But yeah, big move.
Next one we got here is wearing long pants when playing in the heat as if you're on the tour.
Well, then you're just an idiot. I mean,
Or you're a pro.
But if you're doing that at your local public course and you're just asking to be in pain all day,
yeah,
that's just a problem.
I actually only own one pair of golf pants, and that is strictly from like October 1 through the end of season, or it's for season opener until it gets warm enough for me to wear shorts. Gotta be wearing shorts. I mean, I'm sitting here sweating right now. Imagine if I was wearing pants.
We got the 10th hole behind us here and the practice round is going on. And mostly everybody that was teeing off had pants on.
Yeah.
And there was two things that made me feel bad. A, all those guys wearing pants. And B, every single guy hit a ball that I'll probably never be able to hit in my life.
So yes, if you wear pants and you cannot hit a ball like a pro, you should not be wearing pants.
So we're
That's why we both got shorts on right now.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
So next question we got here is asking someone what their handicap is within 3 minutes of meeting.
See, I do that sometimes.
I do too. Why do we do that?
I don't know. Maybe you're just trying to size a guy up.
You're
just trying to size him up, but it's like, it's going to be lower than yours.
You're not looking at the size of his biceps.
I don't know why I do that. Cause it's like, everybody's got a lower handicap than me. Everybody that I play with that just looks like a good golfer is going to have it.
So you're telling people your actual handicap when they ask?
Yeah. I don't really sandbag it too much.
Oh, I'm not. I'm sandbagging that by at least four.
So you're saying it's four lower to make yourself look better?
100%.
No, I mean,
now the sticky
they're going to see.
The sticky situation is if I end up going out to golf with them. Yeah, oh God, bad round, whatever. Just wasn't my day today.
That's another question. Is there going to be spectators tomorrow? Do you know? There will be? Not a ton, but there will be some. Like,
you'll be under pressure, Jay.
They're aware of the danger that they're putting themselves in when we're out there. Okay.
Just yeah, they sign a waiver.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Do they sign a waiver?
No.
They don't sign a waiver.
All right. I'll be careful.
We'll come up with something tonight.
Yeah. I'll be careful, I guess.
All right.
What else we got?
We got two left. Complaining that your approach shots are getting too much backspin.
I wouldn't know what that feels like.
Yeah, I can't even. Sometimes I put backspin on it, but it's totally unintentional, and it's
100%.
We might need another assist on this. Is that a douchebag move? Course's fault.
Okay,
that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do feel bad for groundskeepers because they take a lot of heat that they can't even defend themselves.
They're like, I haven't put the hole over here at all ever, and then they just get reamed for doing it.
I would say the groundskeeper arguably has the hardest job at a golf course. Number one, they take heat from people that they can't even defend themselves against. Everything is their fault. Pin placement, greens are too fast, course is too long.
That's why they never got it labeled on their attire that they have to wear at the course.
That is true.
They probably get jumped.
That is true. They're just kind of in everyday man's clothes. Mowing fairways, rolling greens, what have you.
Just your average dad out there.
But also, we're the type of people who are always looking for excuses to why we're playing bad. So the groundskeeper, thank you to all those who are groundskeepers out there, because you keep the excuses in check, because we essentially can just blame you for
everything. I'm keeping that one in my back pocket from now on. Course's fault.
Yeah.
Everything that's going on, course's fault.
Great shot, groundskeeper's fault.
Can't really say that here, though. It's too nice, huh?
This is a nice course, and the groundskeepers did a phenomenal job.
If that comes
out
of my mouth tomorrow, just slap me.
Yeah, if we do meet the groundskeeper tomorrow, I'm just going to thank him.
I'm going to give him a hug. He might need it.
Built an excuse.
Yeah, he might need that one.
What else you got, Mitch?
Last one here. Saying this is a birdie hole like every other hole.
Well, like we were talking with Parker there earlier, he was 27 under his last win, and I haven't hit 27 birdies in my life. So there's very few instances where I'm saying this is a birdie hole, unless I'm on the green in two with a 4-foot putt. I'll give myself that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what it feels like.
But again, playing with a guy who keeps doing that.
Might need another assist on this one. Douchebag move or no?
Sorry, I missed it.
Saying this is a birdie hole too often.
Could be a little bit of an ego there.
Could be a little bit of an ego.
Yeah, and I think just to sum this entire segment up,
it's an golf average douche golfer's, is it a golf douche move or not?
Yeah, it's like, I think what we can kind of encapsulate this entire segment in is check the ego. If the ego is too big, odds are you're probably just not the guy that people want to play with.
Right.
So
we'll be bringing the vibes tomorrow, to say the least.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. That's what the Pro-Am tomorrow is about.
100%.
So I think we can just say, just stay away from all those 10 points that we just made.
You'll have a better time out on the course.
And if someone does ask your handicap, don't tell them your handicap. Fluff it up a little bit like Jade does with his balls in the fairway.
Yep. I'm a good fluffer. I'll just tell them how many beers I average on the course instead of my handicap.
The BIR. Yep. Yeah, the beers in regulation.
The burrs in regulation.
Yep. So that's what we're going to be about tomorrow. Guys, we're going to wrap the podcast up. Mitch, is this episode 98?
No, this is episode 99.
Oh my God. We're almost at triple digits, guys. Thankfully, loved having you on, Jade.
Yeah,
thanks for coming.
Tyler missing,
but Tyler being back for episode 100 is going to be phenomenal. So guys, thanks for listening in episode 99. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll have more Pro-Am content for you guys next week. We'll let you know how it went. And I think you'll know how it went, whether there is a trophy up in the podcast room or not. So we'll try not to spoil anything for you guys, but we're looking forward to it. We'd like to thank, again, PGA Tour Canada, the CRMC Championship in Brainerd, Minnesota here. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have some beautiful weather, I'm hoping, regardless if it is or not, I've golfed in worse.
And if there's an axe in the studio, it just means we're good negotiators.
Good negotiators and really good golfers on top of that. See you in 100.
Hell, that's a breakfast ball.